are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to OMG. It's the Omara Gayle Radio Show, and I am your host, actress, author, evangelist, producer, and content creator. And I am super glad that you guys could join me on tonight's open air conversation. It is where we are going to breathe in all things good and exhale all the craziness, madness, stress-inducing things that are on the outside. So tonight, I want to find out what you guys are doing for self-care therapy. You know, I need to know what kind of vices you guys have turned to. Are you finding yourself going a little stir crazy with this whole social distancing and stay at home and stay in the house deal? And for those of you who have kids at home, I know a lot of you are going crazy because I get a lot of messages from people telling me they're going crazy. And you know what's come out of this that's really good? I believe parents have a better understanding of what teachers have afforded them. Can I get an amen? Y'all ain't got to invite me in the house, but just wave your hand if I pass by your house. I see you. Mm-hmm. So this has afforded parents an opportunity to see that Johnny really is bad. And Johnny probably really did need to go to the principal's office. And little Sheila, Sheila really does keep asking to go to the bathroom every 3 seconds. And Mikey keeps saying he's hungry all day long. So it's afforded parents an opportunity to see the value of the teachers that are in their lives. And it's also afforded parents to see that we aren't as smart as we think we are. Because homework is not what it used to be, or at least it doesn't seem like it. I mean, I ain't got no little kids right now at home or anything like that. But trust me, I have tried to help when I had the little babies at home, and it was like German or something. I couldn't even get with the program. I felt lost without a cause. But enough of that, because that'll probably exacerbate the stress. I want to find out, I want you guys to share with me, either call in and let me know, what are some of the stressors that are taking place in your life? What are you doing to do some self-care? You know, if you've got a comment or a question or you'd like to share, you can either call in at 347-324-5246. Remember to press the number 1. And then also, for those of you that are on social media watching this live broadcast, all you have to do is chat some information in the comment box, and I'd be more than happy to chat back. I won't be calling out your names because, of course, my radio listeners are also dialed in listening to the show live. So I'm interacting with you and also the general public on the radio show. So let me share with you some of the things that I've found that I have incorporated into my routine. I am working out 5 days a week. Why? Because I need it for sanity. 2, I am a workaholic, and I've been creating a lot of content, not just for myself, but for our church, Vernon Park Church of God. If you have not went to the page to like it, please go and do that. I'll put a link in for those that are on social media. But our church has, of course, went to digital content. We're doing our sermons online, so I'm creating a lot of content for that. Which causes me to be sedated, to sit a lot in order to create the content. And for those of you who are now telecommuting or teleporting or whatever, you're working from home, because I haven't worked a job since 1990, I can't recall the word right now. But for those that work at home who can't physically go to the office, you are probably sitting more. So I am encouraging you to make sure that you're moving. Either drink a bunch of water so that you have to relieve yourself ever so often every 30 minutes, or just set a timer on your 30 minutes or so, walk around for like 2 minutes, and then come back. And you can also, one of the things a good friend of mine, Charlie Jordan Brookins, who has Fit Through Faith, taught me is put your waste paper basket far away from where you sit so that you're forced to get up to toss things away. Those are just little things to stretch and move, but a part of managing my stresses or managing this situation or not going stir crazy, as I've mentioned, is I've been working a lot. I'm also exercising 5 days a week. I have started to take long baths again. Y'all don't understand. Soaking in some Epsom salt with a good fragrant bubble bath and then lighting a couple of candles and listening to some instrumental jazz, it is life for me. But I want you guys, even while we're on live, let's just practice this, all of us together. I want us to breathe in and say woo-sah together. So I can't hear you, you can't hear me, but we're going to have a virtual spa party. You hear me? I want to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. And when I say breathe in, I mean breathe deep. Get all the air that's down in the bottom of your belly and recycle that and have that come up. So we're going to breathe in for three real deep, and then we're going to exhale for three. And you could say woo-sah on the exhale. Let's try it together. One, two, three, breathe it in. Exhale, woo-sah. Yes, I tell you, it does your body good to take those deep breaths and do it often. You know, one of the things that my husband, Pastor January, and I do, we do these deep breathing exercises. It calms you down. And for those that have high blood pressure, it is known to lower your blood pressure because something about deep breathing calms everything down. It stabilizes, it neutralizes. So be sure to incorporate that into your day, into your regimen. One of the other things I shared outside of just taking a bath and soaking is I have found that reading is extremely relaxing during this time. Sometimes being able to transport yourself to another city, another space, another time, you know, can actually help you manage whatever's kind of going on in your world. You know, people are scared. And when people get scared or they're fearful, they turn to things. Some people turn to vices. Some people have chosen to pick up drinking, extracurricular activities, smoking, all kinds of things. Some people are pacing. Some people are having anxiety attacks. You know, I got a text from someone earlier telling me that there's a report that the people are coming to the hospital having panic attacks and anxiety attacks because they are fearful. They're scared. You know, I know Jesus, so I'm so grateful that there is no fear gripping my heart or gripping my mind. It is horrible what's taking place. I am sad for the loss of life, for the lives that are going to be lost. I am sad for our healthcare workers who are online, on the front line, defending us every day, that do not have the weapons they need to fight this battle. All of those things we are taking in the media, we're taking in the news. So what are we doing once we take all of that in? How are you getting all of that out? How are you releasing the toxins that you are being exposed to through your ear gates, your eye gates, your just your natural compassion to love people, to want to care for people? You know, seeing our seniors, you know, feel helpless, seeing people in nursing homes not be able to have human touch. I mean, it's got to affect you. It's affecting everybody. And so I'm trying to find out and do what I can in my little piece of the pie, in my little corner of the world, in my little small sphere of influence. I'm trying to do what I can to either A, facilitate a conversation, because I believe that all people's feelings are valid and valuable. And so if I can facilitate a conversation about what you may be stressed about or what is the biggest concern or the biggest fear for you, and those that are on social media, you can chat me now. What is stressing you? What is bothering you? What is frustrating to you? Or what remedies and tips do you have for ways that you relax? And for those that are on my on the call or online at Up to Me Radio tuned in, I want you to go ahead and call into the station. The phone number is 347-324-5247, and press the number one, because this is a conversation. I want you and I to dialogue. One of the listeners said to me earlier, well, he didn't say it, but he chatted it to me. He said, I have been cleaning, organizing, taking apart, and putting things together again. You know, and that's what some people do, because you feel anxious. You feel like going stir crazy in the house. You know, there was a song, there is a song that's making its rounds. It's Adele's Hello. And there's a singer, Chris, I can't recall his last name, but he's singing Adele's song because he's in the house. So it's like, hello, are you listening? Because he's inside the window, just glued to the window, trying to say he wishes somebody could come see him. He wishes he could go outside. It's a very funny parody. But people are creating content for sanity. Mental clarity is mental therapy. Say it with me. Mental clarity is mental therapy. So what are you doing? What are some of the things you're doing for self-care? Go ahead and chime back in to me. Like I share with you, I'm taking longer baths. I'm listening to instrumental music. I'm reading. I am exercising 5 days a week. I'm eating healthier, because another thing that I know that also exacerbates your stress level is stress eating. And I've gotten messages. People are gaining weight and stress eating, because instead of trying to figure out how to manage the stress, they're grabbing things because that's how they've always dealt with stress. However you've handled stress in the past, unless you set a new trajectory for how you're going to handle it, you'll find yourself conforming to those old ways. So I want to ask you guys, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing to manage the stress? And for those that are just tuning in on social media, I am also online. It's my radio show broadcasting live via uptomeradio.com, and I am also having this conversation with Facebook Live listeners so that you guys can dialogue with me. What are you doing? What are some of the things you do to manage stress? What have you turned to? I'm turning to drinking tea. As a matter of fact, I'm drinking more lemon tea with either fresh lemons or orange slices. So that I can just kind of, like I said, woosah. You all remember back in the day when Martin Lawrence, I think he was holding his ears. I'm a woosah, woosah. So what are you doing to get to woosah? Yes, clarity. Mental clarity is mental therapy. Mental clarity is mental therapy. And so you have to do these things in order to set yourself up for success. It can overwhelm you. You know, it's impossible to keep piling stuff on or stuff in and not think that eventually it'll explode. It's kind of like a pot sitting on the stove and it's full of boiling water. And if you have a lid, you know, eventually that lid will start, you know, like doing that thing where it gets ready to kind of want to feel like it's going to pop off, or the water starts spilling over the side. And that's what can happen to you if you don't do what's necessary to relieve the stress. And for those in the pot analogy, release the steam, because it needs to be released. And so breathing exercises, one of the people said, and I did that a little bit earlier. I had the listeners breathe in with me. We did a deep, and we're going to do some more. We did a deep three count, and then we exhaled out woosah. Another person just chimed in, writing more. Writing is a very good therapy because objects in your mind appear larger. You know, on your rearview mirror, it says objects in the mirror appear larger. Well, objects in your mind appear larger. You know why? Because this is a small space. Your brain is extremely intricate, but it's a small space, and it can get crowded very quickly and very easily. So the things that you think about seem to consume you, and they grow. They get bigger. You begin to meditate on them, and you can't quite get them out of your mind. But when you put them on paper, and remember, paper only has one job. The job is to be available. It is to be used. It is to be written upon. So when you get them out of you and put them on paper or in the computer by typing and texting and chatting it out, once you get that out of your system and you look at what your problem is or your challenge is, it becomes more manageable. That's why it's good to put out. Even when you have bills, if you think about, oh, my mortgage is XY, you know, $2,000, and my car note is $500, and my electric bill is $75, and my gas bill is another $120, and my phone bill is $80, and my cable bill is, you know, if you go on the laundry list in your mind is full of all of that. But once you put it down and you see, okay, so my total expenses for the month are $3,800, you could at least try to figure out, okay, what do I need to do? Which paychecks? How do I manage this? Am I living beyond my means? It becomes manageable when you can look at it and actually come up with a plan. Another person just chimed in and said reading. I've been doing more reading too. Reading is therapeutic. You know why? Because you're forced to be still. And the second reason is you get transported to wherever the reader has taken you. You get lost in the characters or lost in the cadence or lost in the story or lost in the environment. It doesn't matter. It takes you someplace. And so instead of always turning to the television, which a lot of us do, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm in the entertainment industry. I need y'all to tune back in, especially when I'm back on some TV shows. I digress. But instead of just taking in that form of media, try reading a book because it stills you in a way that television can't, that television doesn't. And there is some good content on TV. I have been watching a lot, and I haven't binge-watched anything since we've been on this stay-at-home, but I have watched some great programming, and I may chat and recommend some of that a little bit later. Another person said eating healthy, exercising, reading, oh, playing the piano. I wish I knew how to play the piano. That sounds so, just the thought of somebody playing the piano, it's like, all right, it's time for our next breathing exercise. You guys ready? We're going to breathe in deep on the count. We're going to breathe in for three, and then we're going to exhale for three. And on that exhale, right before you totally out of breath, you're going to say, woo-sah. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, in for three. Exhale for three. Woo-sah. There you go. We're going to practice that because I think we get so busy with our day-to-day, busy with our children or our spouses or our aging parents or our friends or returning emails or our daily work, trying to work at home when you've got all these distractions calling you like the kitchen dishes or the laundry or the kids or the whatever. I think all of that can overwhelm you to the point that you just feel tight, that you just feel, you know, bottled up. Another person said the most important is praying. Absolutely. Have some kind of centering regimen, I like to say. Have a centering regimen. You know, I belong to a prayer Bible study that's every morning, Monday through Friday. And we study the word and we pray, and then we do what we call Praise Friday, where we hold our mule because, woo, we could just giddy up. It just gets so good. And it's, you know, it's full of people from all over the world. And it's been such a joy to be able to dial in and have common interest and have people praying for you and hearing them pray for you. And then I also had taken a group of people on a 30 days of meditation journey. I facilitated and led the group, and I just selected certain people to join me on the journey. I had done the journey, and then I decided to take a group because when you learn something that is of value to you, well, for me, when I learn something that is of value to me, I want to share it with others. And so I took up the practice of meditating, where I would still myself and I would listen to sometimes guided meditations and other times not. They weren't guided. I just wanted to be able to focus, center, be still, and start my day off in a way that was so centered and so grounded that no matter what external circumstances, situations, or challenges were swirling around me, I was still centered and in control. And that really helped me, and it helped my friends who I invited along on the journey. And so I encourage you to find out what stills you. What are you doing? Share with me those that just tuned in and those that just joined the conversation. Share with me some of the things you're doing to have self-care therapy. You know, what are you doing? Or share with me things that are stressing you out, or if you're stressed, or if you found that you are more anxious, or that you're eating more, or that you're worried or concerned more, or if you are glued to the TV and can't pull yourself away. I want to know what's going on with you so that we can unpack that. I've got a nephew who's going to come on within the next week or two to he's a psychologist, to share some of the things that can help you counteract some of those frustrations and those challenges. So this is an open-air conversation where I, Mara Gale, get to have a conversation with you, the listeners, and those that are tuned in and watching via social media, in order to have us find that place of peace. And as I shared with you guys, I have taken up drinking hot tea in the evenings. I've also started taking longer baths, and I always have my baths accompanied with Epsom salt, some kind of fragrant bubble bath, and then I light a candle and I play some instrumental music. I don't know what you guys are doing. I see one person saying, I'm watching too much news. It's really hard not to look away. It's like you're watching the train wreck, and you know it's you're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna crash. This is bad. It's gonna happen, but you can't turn your face away because it is all consuming. It is unprecedented. We are calling this the new norm, but there is absolutely nothing normal about what's going on. There is nothing normal about hearing senior citizens who can't have their loved ones personally visit them. There is nothing normal about watching doctors do social media posts about how they want you to stay home so that you can help save their life as they're working to save others' lives. There's nothing normal about getting calls every day from somebody who's telling us that a relative has died from COVID-19, a word that we never even knew just 6 months ago. There is nothing normal about having your kids not being in school during the school year. There is nothing normal about going out on the freeway and not having bumper-to-bumper traffic during rush hour. There's nothing normal about this. And so this new norm title is, I don't want this to become my new norm. I don't want to adjust to this new norm, but I do want to be adaptable. I do want to be pliable so that I can coexist in this new realm of absurdity, of difficulty, of an unprecedented reality. It's like we're living a nightmare. And so you got to own that in terms of recognize that it is a nightmare. This is not a dream. And this is not make-believe. And we are not in a sci-fi movie. This is actually happening. But how I react to it is about the only thing I can control. How I respond to is one of the only mechanisms in which I have complete control over. So I implore you, I beseech you, I challenge you. While all of this is going on around us, while things are being stressful or seem like it's, you know, just consuming you, as the young lady was saying, watching too much TV, unplug. Unplug, still away. Be still and know that God is ever present. And also unplug so that you can do some mental therapy. You have to unplug. No one can listen to bad news all day, every day. And there's no good news coming from news these days. It all seems bad. So you have to take control of what you're allowing into your eye gates and your ear gates and what toxins you're allowing all over your body. You know, you've got to figure out what that is. And a couple of people have chimed in saying, I listen to my Bible app. That's very good. Listening to your Bible app will help you, you know, restore that peace. Your peace is always with you. We surrender it. We give it away. We put it down like this cup. You know, we pick it up and then take a sip of peace and we put peace down. Well, no, your peace needs to stay with you, especially when things are difficult, especially when things are hard or trying. Keep your peace with you because God left it for us. Don't surrender it. Don't give it up. It's kind of like a cop not surrendering their weapon. Don't surrender. That's your weapon. Your peace is your weapon. It's a part of your well-being. Someone else chatted in, definitely overeating, drinking more tea, working from home, and not sleeping through the night. That's a good point. Bad habit, but good point. A lot of people aren't sleeping through the night because their mind is still reeling, taking in, and processing what they have allowed in it during the day. So I would suggest, and I am no doctor, you guys know I may play one on TV sometimes, but I would suggest defragging from television news earlier than you normally would. If you would normally stop watching the news or TV or interacting on your cell phone by 10 o'clock, bump that back to like 8 o'clock so that you can give yourself extra time to unwind from all that you've heard, absorbed, and consumed, and allow yourself to do something that would be medicinal for you. If taking a hot bath it would do that for you, try it. Try taking a nice hot soak with some Epsom salt, a nice fragrance, or light a candle, and just allow the senses to be lulled into a state of calm, a state of relaxation, a state of peace. You know, lavender is very good for that. Try not to do any peppermint stimulating things because those wake you up versus put you to sleep. Find some herbal scents, fragrances, that aromatherapy fragrances that are calming versus those that alert you. And if you're a shower at night type of person versus shower in the day type of person, make sure that your bath gels are things that would help facilitate and foster good, peaceful rest. And make sure that you're not sleeping with the news on, which can definitely keep you up at night, because if you would normally sleep with the TV, listening to bad news or worry news or stock markets crashing or people dying all night will definitely send your brain on a loop and a journey and a trip that you really don't want it to go on. And then do deep breathing exercises. I have this, my husband, Pastor January, always talks about this app called Calm. I introduced him to that app about maybe 8 months ago, and it has been his best friend. Well, I'm his best friend, but it's been his next best friend. And that app has soothing pictures, and it fosters a state of relaxation. Put some candles or aromatherapy in your home and allow those to overwhelm you, meaning to take what was bad and negative and not so good from the day and let it be replaced with something calming and peaceful and relaxing. Someone else said, I don't want this to be the new norm. No, neither do I. And I reject it as the new norm. It is. There's nothing normal about it. Nothing normal about it. That part, how I respond is where I have control. Yes, that's it. That's it. Mental therapy. Yes. Mental clarity is mental therapy. When your mind is clear enough to process, think, and respond versus react, and I've taught this lesson before, but it bears repeating. I used to take things personally. Somebody would do something and I'd snap. I didn't have a filter or a way to stop, you know, when they did something. It was just, you know, I would just shoot from the hip, or I had a knee-jerk reaction. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. You say something foul, I'm saying something back. And so I didn't have that in place. And the Holy Spirit worked with me instead of snapping and going off and my anger matches your anger. I don't take anything personally anymore. You can say what you want to say about me. You can say bad or negative. It doesn't matter. Negative, bad, lies. It doesn't faze me anymore because I know who I am. And more importantly, I know whose I am. And if I weren't making an impact, if I wasn't affecting or creating change for the better, then the enemy or the inner me wouldn't be messing with me so much. So when people attack me, instead of taking things personally, I take things purposefully. I look for the purpose in the attack. Okay, so what is it that it's telling me? Should I be praying for people, that person more? Because obviously something's missing in their life that they want to attack me about something I am in abundance of. My cup is so full, people can have a sip from my saucer. So if somebody's attacking me, It's not because I'm not doing my part. It's not because I'm not contributing. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, and this is a lesson that I've taught many a time, and those of you who have been rolling with me for a while on OMG have heard this, which is, you know, God created humans with the ability to pause. Dogs don't have it. The creatures outside, they don't have it. Horses, deer, they don't have that ability to pause before they react. And so if you step on my gym shoe, and they're brand new gym shoes, and they cost me $200-$300, which y'all know ain't my situation, but for anybody, you know what I'm talking about in terms of the analogy. If you hurt me, or if you attempt to hurt me, bump me, or step on my shoe, if I react without pausing, which God gave me the ability to pause, unlike animals, I am reacting like a dog. You see, if you step on a dog's tail or its foot, it's probably going to snap at you with a bite because it doesn't care if you're a friend or a foe. It hurts, so I'm going to react. I'm going to react. But as humans, I can respond. When I'm in New York and somebody bumps me, I can start cursing them out down the street. What good would that do? They're going to keep walking, and then I'm going to stress myself out and maybe cause myself to have a stress attack. I'm not doing that. Instead of taking it personally, I could think, wow, that person may be late for work. Maybe that person got fired. Maybe that person got bad news. Maybe that person's kid is sick and they're trying to rush to get to. Why not pause and give people, extend some grace? You know, it keeps my blood pressure perfect. And when I say my blood pressure is perfect, if I had a blood pressure machine right here, right now, and I took my blood pressure, y'all would think I was the walking dead in that. It's so low. My husband constantly says, is that normal? And I go, yes. And I have to go online and show. My blood pressure is something like 70 over 45. I know that sounds like I'm there, right? But it really is. I'm always just, and y'all know I get passionate. I get passionate on this show. I get passionate in what I do. But none of that is messing with the heart area. None of that is wiring me up to the point that I'm stressed or sick behind it. And I'm so grateful for that. So very grateful for that. Someone else said, yes, it's a good time for them to listen to the Bible app at bedtime. Yeah, that's very good to listen to a Bible app at bedtime. To read any scripture anytime is good. But to be reminded of God's promises before you go to sleep is like having a piece of chocolate without getting cavities. Ooh, something sweet. I just made that up. Yes, I did. And or just laying in the bed and reciting what you're grateful for. Thank you that I made it through today. Thank you that my loved ones or those that I care for are safe and are not harmed. Thank you that I am clothed in my right mind. Thank you that I have a roof over my head and I am not living in the streets or living in tents right now. Thank you that I'm not in a hospital room hoping and praying that I had they had enough oxygen machines to handle if I had a respiratory situation. Thank you that I not only have clothes on my back or pajamas on my body, but I've got a closet full of clothes. Thank you that I have options of which room I'd like to sit in my house, where I'd like to be in my space. Thank you that if I go to my china, into my cabinet in the kitchen, I can look at an assortment. If that may be little, but some people don't have that. I can go in the refrigerator and choose water, juice, almond milk, or raspberry lemonade or whatever other beverage that may be inside. Thank you that I don't have one pot on the stove. I can put as many as I want, that my cupboards are full of food that I can eat, that I have the finances to buy the food, or we have the money to pay for the bills, or that I have sound coming out of my voice, something as simple as sound coming out of my throat, out of my mouth, that other people don't have sound coming out, can't hear sound, can't see me speaking. I am so grateful. Thank you that I have friends and family, and thank you that I have Jesus, the lover of my soul. Thank you that I have a platform that I can remind people of what's really important, because a house, a car, and some fancy clothes are not the most valuable things you possess. The most valuable things you possess are the things that money, no matter how much you have, can't buy. Good health. Not having an oxygen machine on wheels roll with me every day. Good health. Not having to take 12 pills a day just to feel okay. Good peace of mind. not having to take Xanax or Prozac or any other act in order to get my act together every day, to be happy or to be sad, not having to have a vice in order to coexist with people. All of those things are the things you should be thankful for, and it is almost impossible. I can double dog dare you. If you lay down at night cataloging and rattling and rolling off your tongue all the things that you're grateful for in this one day, it is virtually impossible to feel bad. It is virtually impossible to not replace what things were stressing you or worrying you the moment before you started this list. Because when you remind yourself of how very blessed you really are, contrary to popular belief and even in the midst of all that's going on and the unemployment rates that are going up and the stock market that's, you know, been like a yo-yo, in the midst of all of that, it reminds me of the story when the disciples were in the boat and the storm was there and Jesus ended up saying, "Peace, be still," because he's like, "I'm always with you." He's always there. And so we have to remind ourselves that we are in the midst of a pandemic, but guess who's in it with us? We're not alone. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You are not alone. We're in the midst of this, but this thing, this pandemic, this COVID-19, this coronavirus, this Rona, people are calling it, this thing is not bigger than my God. Now, I don't know what gods some people may worship, that this is bigger than their God. But what I know to be true about my God is he works all things out for my good. All things. He will work even this out for my good. If that means he's affording me an opportunity to create content that uplifts, inspires, and motivates people, then that's a part of working it out for my good. Because if I can empower and equip one person, get this dis-ease, this so-called new norm that's not normal in a different way, then I feel like I've done my job. If I have been about my daddy's business, working diligently to prepare and to seed into others' lives and to make calls and encourage people and to remind seniors that we are here and to make random calls and ask if I can help and do things for them and to go across the street to my neighbor and say, "Hey, I know you got a little kid. If you need any help with anything or you got to run an errand and you need me to help you out." If me extending myself like this is beneficial to others, then yeah, this right here, this new norm that's not normal, this pandemic that's overtaken the world has allowed and afforded something good to come out of it. The pollution is less outside as a result of everybody staying home. Kids are spending more time with their parents. Parents are having more conversations with their spouses and their kids because worry, concern, and confusion will cause that. Children being in the house with you will cause a lot of questions. Kids got questions, and therefore you got an opportunity to exercise your faith in a way you never had before, even while you're scared. You're speaking to them in a way that is with confidence, telling them who God is and to trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not until their own knowledge. So there's opportunity in this. And let's not forget, millionaires are made when things are in a depression or a recession stage. You know, my husband, Pastor January, says that often. He's like, millionaires are made in this kind of season. So I want to ask you, what do you have? Like the widow who went to the man, to the prophet, and said, "Hey, they're coming for my kids and me, and my husband was good to you. They're gonna take my sons into slavery." And the prophet said to her, "What do you have?" And she goes, "I have nothing," because that's the first thing that comes out, "but a little oil." And of course, those that are believers and may study the word, you know that she went on, he told her, get all the vases, the jars that you could, gather them into a room, put you and your sons in that room, and you go in that room, and you pour the oil you have until there is no more. Don't get just a few, he says, you get a lot, because he knew there would be an abundance decree. He knew that the Lord was going to bless her. So she and her sons went into this room, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured, filling up jars and jars, filling up jars and jars, and eventually she was like, "Bring me another." And they said, "There is no more," and the oil stopped. And when she went to sell the oil, she sold the oil to pay off the debt, and she had enough leftover money for her and her two sons to live off of for the rest of her life. So I say that rather long story. I share that with you to say, what do you have in the house? What gifts and talents do you have that could be a blessing to someone in this season? Maybe you've got a unique skill set, or you're a writer, or you're an artist, or you're a designer. Maybe there's a gift or a skill set that in this season could get on steroids and be reproduced, or could be exposed to people, and it would be exactly what people need. You never know until you try, and sometimes you have to be still and away from the madness and the crazy and the going and the hustle and bustle of life in order for God to get your attention, because you're too busy. He's waiting to talk to you, and you won't give him 5 minutes. You get up in the morning and you get out of bed and you put your clothes on and you go about your day, and God is waiting to talk to you. He wants 5 minutes just to talk to you. And instead of you spending time with him then, you go into the closet and you're going through your clothes going, I have nothing to wear and nothing to wear. And God is waiting to talk to you. And then he thinks when you go to the mirror and the men start shaving their face or shaving their hair and the women start applying their makeup, that surely my son or my daughter is going to talk to me. But instead, you're looking at yourself complaining about the pimples on your face or the discoloration or the razor bumps that you got on your head or your face from the shave. And then you get dressed and God is like, oh, when they go downstairs or into the kitchen of their home, they're going to talk to me. And God is waiting to talk to you. He's asking for 5 minutes. But instead of you sitting there when you get ready to eat your meal that he blessed you to be able to have a job, to go and go to the grocery store, buy the groceries, prepare it, cook it in your home, and to be able to eat it, instead of talking to him in that moment, you're so busy going through your phone trying to see who on social media has left you a message, liked your post, or commented on them before you go to work. And he's thinking, okay, when she puts that dish in the sink or he puts that bowl in the dishwater, surely they're going to talk to me and have a conversation, because he's waiting to talk to you. 5 minutes is all he wants. But instead, you then start your car either with your automatic starter, or you go out and you start your car and you get in the car, and God is thinking, oh, when my son or my daughter get to the car, it's going to be me and him and her, and we're going to have us a little conversation, because they're going to thank me for the fact that they had a job and they were on their way to the job, and I blessed them with the car and I blessed them with the job and I blessed them with the paycheck that's going to come that Friday or the following Friday or the once a month. But sure enough, you get in the car and instead of talking to daddy, you are listening to the radio, letting somebody talk to you. And then you get to work and you get back home and then you're at the house and God is thinking, oh, surely my son and my daughter are going to talk to me. He's waiting to talk to you. 5 minutes is all he wants. He's been waiting since this morning. He woke you up. He allowed you to have movement in your limbs and eyes to see and ears to hear and all of this. And he's waiting to talk to you. Come and talk to me is all he wants, is 5 minutes. But instead, you get home and then you start the routine of, I'm back at home. And for those of you who have been working because of COVID-19, you never left the house, but throughout the day, you never decided to take a moment, pause, and talk to him either before you go to bed. And so then you eat your meal at dinner time, and maybe you watch a little TV, and God is thinking, when they turn off the TV and they finish working and they cut off the computer and got off the Zoom and got off the Facebook Live and the FaceTime and the everything else that you do, when they get to their room, surely they're going to thank me that I gave them the towel that they're drying their body in and the feet that they're standing on and the arms that they could scrub their body in. And he's waiting to talk to you. He's saying, come and talk to me, give me 5 minutes. But instead of you having a conversation with him and bending your knees or laying in bed and dialoguing, you are going through the laundry list of all the things you didn't do or all the things you got to do, and God is still waiting. And then you go to bed and you still haven't spent any time with him, and God is waiting to talk to you. He's saying, come and talk to me. 5 minutes is all he's asking, but he is thinking, oh, that's okay, they'll go to sleep tonight and I'll keep them safe in their home, and their car will be there in the driveway or in the garage, because I'm a provider and a protector, and I'm going to keep them. They're going to wake up in the morning and not get rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night. And in the morning, maybe he or she is going to talk to me, because he's waiting to talk to you. But that's how we do our day. Instead of pressing pause, being still and silent and allowing God and his word to speak to us, we're too busy being busy. And if you're too busy for God, you are way too busy, because he gives you time. And time is under his feet, so he can wait for you. But you don't want him to wait too long that you find yourself on your back and you got to talk to him, because ain't nobody there to talk to you. That's a PSA for free, just telling you, spend 5 minutes with God. How many of you guys would dedicate 5 minutes to him? How many of you would commit tonight to give God 5 minutes a day. Don't go overboard. Some may do 20 or 30 or even an hour, but if you would just commit to making a standing date with Daddy, 5 minutes, 5 minute date, and commit to it like you do eating breakfast or lunch or dinner every day. Commit to it like you do checking social media every day. Just commit 5 minutes. How many of you would give God 5 minutes of your day? How many of you would commit today to giving God just 5 minutes of your day? That would be a blessing. He would absolutely enjoy it because he's waiting to talk to you. You're the apple of his eye. He is excited when he gets to listen to your voice, the voice to his ears. When he gets to hear you ask him, you know, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this season, Lord? What are you trying to speak to me, Lord? What should I be doing to assist or help? You know, he's there. He's there, waiting, available. He doesn't have off hours. His office is always open. His ears are always tuned to you. He's like the little kid that's excited to see you when you get home. Or for those that are pet lovers, the pet that's waiting by the door for the owner of the pet to get home. He's like that. And he's waiting for you all day. He's waiting every day. And so I think if you'd commit to 5 minutes, if you would just commit to a solid 5 minutes, doesn't have to be always every day, 20, 30 minutes or an hour or two. But try to give him 5 minutes and see how much value that 5 minutes of giving affords you. You can never outgive God. If you give God 5 minutes of your time, I can't predict to you what you get back in return, but the peace that surpasses my understanding when I give him my time off the top of my day, things don't get to me. I recently had an uncle pass away. That's two. One aunt passed a year and a half ago. A cousin died about less than 6 months ago. And then an uncle died the other day. And I am in peace. I don't look at death how most people look at death. Doesn't mean I didn't love my uncle, my aunt, and my cousin. Doesn't mean I won't miss my uncle, my aunt, or my cousin. But what it means is that's between them and God. I have no control over who lives or dies. So death is between them and God. And once you get to the realization and understanding that my peace the Lord left with me and my joy is not like some lotion rubbed on my skin, I have joy and I have peace knowing that I couldn't have done anything about that. Why shall I worry, stress, and be upset about something I have no control over? I remember back when gas prices were going up, and they may be going up again. I haven't driven, so I don't know. But when gas prices went up, people were complaining, oh, gas prices are too high. I was like, why stress yourself out over that every day? Because every time you go to a gas pump, you are going to have to see that you can't change the gas prices. But there are some things we can change. We can change how we circulate the air in our body by deep breathing in and then exhaling. Matter of fact, let's do that again. We did it twice earlier in the show. Let's go ahead and do our deep breathing. What we're going to do is inhale in three for a count of three, and then we're going to exhale for a count of three. So I want you to breathe deeply for three and then exhale for three. And on the last part of the exhale, say woosah. All right, so let's try it all together. Ready? Breathe in deep for three. Exhale for three. Woosah. You can get that anywhere you are. You can stop any moment of the day, any time, and grab hold of something that can help you in the moment, something that can bless you in the moment. So I've given tips and tools that I think would be beneficial for you. Hopefully, there were some things of value that was said. One of the people just chatted a little bit earlier. Praise God, a dear friend recently had her voice box removed. So this person is saying they're grateful for speech. That's it. That right there is exactly it. Yes, yes. And then someone else said, pause and give grace. Yes, that's what I was we have to learn to do that. You have to learn to pause and give grace. You have to extend grace to people. So glad you guys have tuned in and you've been listening in and you're leaning in. And I hope that something that's being said is exactly what you needed to hear. Something that's being said is reminding you of the power you have. You have great power. You need only exercise it. You can be in control. Don't let anybody rob you of your joy. You are the CEO of your joy. It's not like lotion rubbed on your skin. Your joy is in control and it's found within. That means that the only way somebody can access it is to get through your will. Don't give them that power. Also, extend that grace as I share. Don't take things personally. Next to last, remember before you go to bed, what are you allowing in? What toxins, what situations are you allowing in that's perhaps clogging you with toxins when you lay down so your rest is uneasy, your sleep is not peaceful, and you're not sleeping through the night? Make sure that you're defragging in order to be able to accomplish all the things that you have to do. We need you healthy. We need you mentally healthy because I shared with you mental clarity is mental therapy. So you got to be clear on what you need. I share with you to go ahead and write some of the things down because objects in your mind appear larger. Write them down because they become more manageable once you see them on paper or see them on a computer screen. Oh, to hear his sweet voice. Someone was saying, what is my assignment for today? Share the context with it will be the best conversation, I promise. Praise God. She's talking about having a conversation with God. That'll be her assignment for the day. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I pray that other people take up the mantle and decide to choose a minimum of 5 minutes, God. It'll be the best 5 minutes of your day. I promise you the riches, the sweetness, the reward, the joy, the things that he gives you in return for sacrificing that 5 minutes are invaluable. You can't calculate it. I can't even articulate what God gives me every single day. My husband, Pastor Jay, is always saying, you just wake up happy. And I do. I really do. I wake up happy and I go to bed happy. And I know happy is a very, it could be flighty, but I wake up in joy and I go to sleep in joy. I can't explain to you why. And part of it may be that, of course, I get to do what I love to do, but I'm not acting right now. You know, I love acting and I love doing my voiceover work and being compensated for it. And this I do because it's my platform and I love it. But I try not to take on anything I don't enjoy doing. Now, everybody doesn't have the privilege of doing that. I get it. But even if you're doing something that you don't necessarily care to do for 8 or 9 hours a day, Monday through Friday, or whatever your work days are, always find outside of that time that you do something you love. If that's 1 hour a day and you love reading, or 1 hour or 2 hours a day and you love writing, or 1 hour and 2 hours a day that you love sewing. You know, I've got a friend who's a CFO of a company, and at nighttime she's moonlighting as a seamstress sewing because it's therapeutic for her. And she's a CFO of a company, running a company. So it's not an 8-hour day for her. It's probably like a 10 or a 12-hour day. But outside of that, she's sewing because it's therapeutic for her. So you got to find what's good for you. And you also have to make sure that you make time for God. Give him that 5 minutes, a minimum of 5 minutes, and see what you get. Test him at it. Test him at it because he's faithful. He's faithful. I'm going to go ahead and begin to close out of this the radio show. You know, it's generally on for about an hour, and we're coming up to the top of the hour. But I want to, one more time before I close out, I want to do a deep breathing exercise. And then if there's any prayer requests, you can go ahead and chat them. I don't have time to take any calls, I don't think, right now. But if you have a prayer request, I want to go ahead and cover you in prayer. So let's just do our deep breathing. We're going to breathe in for three, and then we're going to exhale for three, and you're going to do a deep breathe, a deep breath, deep, deep, deep breathing. Exhale for three, and on the end of the exhale, say out loud, woof. So on the count of three, one, two, three, in, exhale, Woosah. That's free. That didn't cost you anything. Not $5, not a debit card. You didn't have to punch in a PIN. You didn't have to leave where you were sitting. You didn't have to prepare or get any particular things to accompany that. That's free. And that's available to you. That is available to you just like Jesus is available to you. And so if there are any prayer requests, go ahead and put those here in the chat box. And also, I want to do a general prayer. So if there are no prayer requests, I'm just going to go ahead and do a general prayer. And I want you guys to put your faith with mine as we begin to pray for our frontline workers, especially during this pandemic. I think they could use our prayers. I think that if all of us just virtually began to respond in love, lifting them up and praying that they get exactly what they need in order to do what they're doing for our country, I believe if we encamp them, it's kind of like, to me, prayers go up and they're like a light. And if it's just a small little prayer and it's timid and there's no passion and there's no fervor in it, it's like a light that goes up to the angels, and the angels can work. They see the light. But if the multitude of people come together and we corporately begin to beseech God and bombard heaven on behalf of them, I believe it's like a bright light going up to the heavens. And when the angels see them, they begin to run and they begin to chase them down in order to get them accomplished. So Heavenly Father, we bless you right now. Lord God, we praise you right now. We ask you, Daddy God, our Father, our great provider, Lord God, our Jehovah Rapha, our Jehovah Shalom. We ask you in the name of Jesus. We beseech you, Daddy God, to please, Lord God, get our frontline workers, our first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our hospital and medical professionals exactly what they need, the gear, the PPE, the oxygen and breathing apparatus, all of the equipment that they need in order to care for the patients. Father, give them relief. Send people from other states, Lord God, to be able to help those that are weary, those that are working double time and overtime, those that are sleeping 3 and 4 hours in order to go back on shift. We ask you to renew them, to revive them, to give them supernatural stamina, supernatural strength, Daddy God. We ask you to give them peace of mind. We ask you to give them calm and resolve, Lord God, while they're sacrificing the time from their family and their kids and in their home, while they're taking care of our families and our friends and our loved ones. Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to give them a peace that surpasses their understanding, to give them strength beyond their natural strength, to give them wisdom and understanding beyond their education, their schooling, and their experience, to supernaturally infuse them, Lord God, with ways to take what they've been doing with little, Lord God, and multiply it and do much with it, just like you did with the fishes and the loaves. We pray in the name of Jesus for the ambulance drivers, Lord God. We pray for them and their families. We pray for the postal workers who are still on their job, Lord God, while we come in order to mail packages and masks and things to our friends and our loved ones and cards. We're doing it for leisure. They're doing it for livelihood because they're trying to keep our government and our cities and working, Lord God. We pray for our trash men, our sanitation workers. We pray for those that are working still on their job, our senators, our congressmen, our government, in the name of Jesus, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, that you would allow us to change the trajectory of this uphill climb to this 100 to 240,000 people lost. Shut it down, Lord God, and cause it to start going the other way. Let the estimates be overestimated and let us come well under that. Lord God, we pray for everyone who's lost a loved one to COVID-19, Father God. May you comfort them as only you can, Lord God. May you rearrange the senselessness of this dis-ease and dysfunction, Father God, and give them a comfort and a peace, Lord God, and a gratitude that they had the person, be it one day, 50 days, or 85 days with that person. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you on credit for all those that have rose up, Lord God, to start sewing masks, to create PPE, to do all that they can do, Lord God, to dedicate for those factories and those companies, Lord God, that are converting their equipment, Father God, so that they can help where the government has been lacking. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus for all those that have lost their jobs, those who right now are incarcerated and the pandemic is spreading, COVID-19 is spreading through the jails, and those that are homeless, Lord God, are most vulnerable, those seniors who are worried if they get it, they're going to die because they're going going to have to allow a 20-year-old to live like they did in Italy. Lord God, we pray against the mental strain, frustrations, the fear that all of this is causing, the grip on our hearts. Father God, we pray for your peace. Father God, we pray for your peace. Father God, we pray for your peace and your protection over these, the United States of America, and the entire country, Lord God. And whatever good is coming out of this, from it, the pollution that is no longer clouding our air, to the reality that parents are spending more time praying, to the fact that children are more inquisitive about who you are and drawing rainbows all around the world, and rainbows are meaning your promise that you promise to never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. Whatever these good things that are coming out of this bad situation is to us, Father God, we pray that we begin to meditate on that, think on these things, those things that are true, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely. You say in your word, if there's any virtue, any praise, to think on them. We will be ever so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless those that are mourning and those that are bereaved, and bless those that are in the hospital right now, Lord God, who can't breathe. Let air get through their passageway and let them be healed and recover. It is in your mighty, matchless, and Son, Jesus' name, that we pray and say amen. And those of you that agree with this prayer, just tap in and amen right now as we close out. Again, this is the OMG Omara Gale Radio Show. You can catch me every Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, and 4 o'clock Pacific Standard. This show is also available via podcast everywhere you can catch a podcast. God bless you. Be encouraged, and good night.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.